to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. You can listen to this program again online at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Vipassana Meditation. That's V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A Meditation. Alternate weeks will be in Hindi. We will now hear an extract from the book The Art of Living, written and read by the Vipassana teacher William Hart. It includes an extract from the discourses of the principal teacher, Mr. S.N. Goenka, a householder teacher of Vipassana meditation in the tradition of the late Sayaji Ubaken of Burma.
Suppose you had the opportunity to free yourself of all worldly responsibilities for 10 days. With a quiet, secluded place in which to live, protected from disturbances. In this place, the basic physical requirements of room and board would be provided for you, and helpers would be on hand to see that you were reasonably comfortable. In return, you would be expected only to avoid contact with others, and apart from essential activities, to spend all your waking hours with eyes closed, keeping your mind on a chosen object of attention. Would you accept the offer? Suppose you had simply heard that such an opportunity existed, and that people like yourself were not only willing but eager to spend their free time in this way. How would you describe their activity? Navel gazing, you might say, or contemplation. Escapism, or spiritual retreat. Self-intoxication or self-searching. Introversion or introspection. Whether the connotation is negative or positive, the common impression of meditation is that it is a withdrawal from the world. Of course, there are techniques that function in this way, but meditation need not be an escape. It can also be a means to encounter the world in order to understand it and ourselves. Every human being is conditioned to assume that the real world is outside, that the way to live life is by contact with an external reality, by seeking input, physical and mental, from without. Most of us have never considered severing outward contacts in order to see what happens inside. The idea of doing so probably sounds like choosing to spend hours staring at the test pattern on a television screen. We would rather explore the far side of the moon or the bottom of the ocean than the hidden depths within ourselves. But in fact, the universe exists for each of us only when we experience it with body and mind. It is never elsewhere, it is always here and now. By exploring the here and now of ourselves, we can explore the world. Unless we investigate the world within, we can never know reality. We will only know our beliefs about it, or our intellectual conceptions of it. By observing ourselves, however, we can come to know reality directly, and can learn to deal with it in a positive, creative way. One method of exploring the inner world is Vipassana meditation, as taught by S.N. Goenka. This is a practical way to examine the reality of one's own body and mind, to uncover and solve whatever problems lie hidden there, to develop unused potential, and to channel it for one's own good and the good of others. Vipassana means insight in the ancient Pali language of India. It is the essence of the teaching of the Buddha, the actual experience of the truths of which he spoke. The Buddha himself attained that experience by the practice of meditation, and therefore meditation is what he primarily taught. His words are records of his experiences in meditation, as well as detailed instructions on how to practice in order to reach the goal he had attained, the experience of truth. This much is widely accepted, but the problem remains of how to understand and follow the instructions given by the Buddha. While his words have been preserved in texts of recognized authenticity, the interpretation of the Buddha's meditation instructions is difficult without the context of a living practice. But if a technique exists that has been maintained for unknown generations, that offers the very results described by the Buddha, and if it conforms precisely to his instructions and elucidates points in them that have long seemed obscure, then that technique is surely worth investigating. Vipassana is such a method. It is a technique extraordinary in its simplicity, its lack of all dogma, and above all, in the results it offers. Vipassana meditation is taught in courses of 10 days, open to anyone who sincerely wishes to learn the technique and who is fit to do so physically and mentally. During the 10 days, participants remain within the area of the course site, having no contact with the outside world. They refrain from reading and writing, and suspend any religious or other practices, working exactly according to the instructions given. For the entire period of the course, they follow a basic code of morality, which includes celibacy and abstention from all intoxicants. They also maintain silence among themselves for the first 9 days of the course, although they are free to discuss meditation problems with the teacher and material problems with the management. During the first 3.5 days, the participants practice an exercise of mental concentration. This is preparatory to the technique of Vipassana proper, which is introduced on the 4th day of the course. Further steps within the practice are introduced each day, so that by the end of the course, the entire technique has been presented in outline. On the 10th day, silence ends, and meditators make the transition back to a more extroverted way of life. The course concludes on the morning of the 11th day. The experience of 10 days is likely to contain a number of surprises for the meditator. The first is that meditation is hard work. The popular idea that it is a kind of inactivity or relaxation is soon found to be a misconception. Continual application is needed to direct the mental processes consciously in a particular way. The instructions are to work with full effort, yet without any tension. But until one learns how to do this, the exercise can be frustrating or even exhausting. Another surprise is that, to begin with, the insights gained by self-observation are not likely to be all pleasant and blissful. Normally, we are very selective in our view of ourselves. When we look into a mirror, we are careful to strike the most flattering pose, the most pleasing expression. In the same way, we each have a mental image of ourselves which emphasizes admirable qualities, minimizes defects, and omits some sides of our character altogether. We see the image that we wish to see, not the reality. But Vipassana meditation is a technique for observing reality from every angle. Instead of a carefully edited self-image, the meditator confronts the whole uncensored truth. Certain aspects of it are bound to be hard to accept. At times it may seem that instead of finding inner peace, one has found nothing but agitation by meditating. Everything about the course may seem unworkable, unacceptable. The heavy timetable, the facilities, the discipline, the instructions and advice of the teacher, the technique itself. Another surprise, however, is that the difficulties pass away. At a certain point, meditators learn to make effortless efforts, to maintain a relaxed alertness, a detached involvement. Instead of struggling, they become engrossed in the practice. Now inadequacies of the facilities seem unimportant. The discipline becomes a helpful support. The hours pass quickly, unnoticed. The mind becomes as calm as a mountain lake at dawn, perfectly mirroring its surroundings and at the same time revealing its depths to those who look more closely. When this clarity comes, every moment is full of affirmation, beauty, and peace. Thus the meditator discovers that the technique actually works. Each step in turn may seem an enormous leap, and yet one finds one can do it. At the end of 10 days, it becomes clear how long a journey it has been from the beginning of the course. The meditator has undergone a process analogous to a surgical operation, to lancing a pus-filled wound. Cutting open the lesion and pressing on it to remove the pus is painful, but unless this is done, the wound can never heal. Once the pus is removed, one is free of it and of the suffering it caused, and can regain full health. Similarly, by passing through a 10-day course, the meditator relieves the mind of some of its tensions and enjoys greater mental health. The process of vipassana has worked deep changes within, changes that persist after the end of the course. The meditator finds that whatever mental strength was gained during the course, whatever was learned, can be applied in daily life for one's own benefit and for the good of others. Life becomes more harmonious, fruitful, and happy. The technique taught by S.N. Goenka is that which he learned from his teacher, the late Seaji U Ba Khin of Burma, who was taught vipassana by Seya U Thet, a well-known teacher of meditation in Burma in the first half of this century. In turn, Seya U Thet was a pupil of Ledi Seado, a famous Burmese scholar monk of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Further back, there is no record of the names of the teachers of this technique, but it is believed by those who practiced it that Ledi Seado learned vipassana meditation from traditional teachers who had preserved it through generations since ancient times, when the teaching of the Buddha was first introduced into Burma. Certainly the technique agrees with the instructions of the Buddha on meditation, with the simplest, most literal meaning of his words. And most important, it provides results that are good, personal, tangible, and immediate. The technique should be learned only in a course where there is a proper environment to support the meditator and a properly trained guide. Meditation is a serious matter, especially the vipassana technique, which deals with the depths of the mind. It should never be approached lightly or casually.
There is a story. A very highly educated young professor, not matured in life, but very highly educated, was traveling by a ship. And there was also an illiterate sailor, old sailor in the same ship. Sometimes the sailor will go to the cabin of the professor and listen to his very highly educated, learned talks, very much impressed. One day, as the sailor was leaving the cabin, the professor asked him, "Old man, have you studied geology?" "What is that, sir?" "The science of the earth." "No, sir, I have not been to any school or any college. I have not studied anything." "Old man, you have wasted quarter of your life." Old man, very sad. "Such a learned professor says so. So certainly I must have wasted quarter of my life." Next day again, after big talks, when the old man was leaving, the professor again asked him, "Old man, have you studied oceanology?" "What is that, sir?" "There's a science of the sea, ocean also." "No, sir, as I told you, I have not studied anything." "Old man, you have wasted half of your life." Old man, very sad. "I wasted half of my life." And third day again he was questioned, "Old man, have you studied meteorology?" "What is this?" "There's a science of weather, rain, wind." "No, sir, as I told you, I have studied nothing." "Old man, you have wasted three quarters of your life." Old man, very sad. "Such a learned professor says so. Certainly I wasted three quarters of my life." And the next day it was the turn of the old man, and he came running. Professor, sir, have you studied swimmology?" "What swimmology?" "Can you swim, sir?" "Oh, no, I cannot swim." "Professor, sir, you have wasted all your life." "There is shipwreck. This ship is going to sink now." "Those who can swim, they will reach the other shore. But otherwise, one has to die." "I am so sorry for you, Professor, sir." "Yes, we may study all the lodges of the world. If we don't study swimology, then what's the use of all these lodges?" And even Shrimology, you like to read books. You like to listen to discourses, but won't touch the water. How will it help? All theories, 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 and no practice. You're to swim this ocean of misery and go to the other shore, which is free from all misery. The practical aspect of Dhamma is swimology. Learn how to swim this ocean of misery. Come out of misery.
All of us seek peace and harmony because this is what we lack in our lives. We all want to be happy. We regard it as our right. Yet happiness is a goal we strive toward more often than attain. At times, we all experience dissatisfaction in life, agitation, irritation, disharmony, suffering. Even if at this moment we are free from such dissatisfactions, we can all remember a time when they afflicted us and can foresee a time when they may recur. Eventually, we all must face the suffering of death. Nor do our personal dissatisfactions remain limited to ourselves. Instead, we keep sharing our suffering with others. The atmosphere around each unhappy person becomes charged with agitation, so that all who enter that environment also feel agitated and unhappy. In this way, individual tensions combine to create the tensions of society. This is the basic problem of life, its unsatisfactory nature. Things happen that we do not want. Things that we want do not happen. And we are ignorant of how or why this process works, just as we are each ignorant of our own beginning and end. 25 centuries ago in northern India, a man decided to investigate this problem, the problem of human suffering. After years of searching and trying various methods, he discovered a way to gain insight into the reality of his own nature and to experience true freedom from suffering. Having reached this highest goal of liberation, of release from misery and conflict, he devoted the rest of his life to helping others do as he had done, showing them the way to liberate themselves. This person, Siddhartha Gautama, known as the Buddha, the Enlightened One, never claimed to be anything other than a man. Like all great teachers, he became the subject of legends, but no matter what marvelous stories were told of his past existences or his miraculous powers, still all accounts agree that he never claimed to be divine or to be divinely inspired. Whatever special qualities he had were preeminently human qualities that he had brought to perfection. Therefore, whatever he achieved is within the grasp of any human being who works as he did. The Buddha did not teach any religion or philosophy or system of belief. He called his teaching Dhamma, that is, law, the law of nature. He had no interest in dogma or idle speculation. Instead, he offered a universal, practical solution for a universal problem. Now, as before, he said, I teach about suffering and the eradication of suffering. He refused even to discuss anything which did not lead to liberation from misery. This teaching, he insisted, was not something that he had invented or that was divinely revealed to him. It was simply the truth, reality, which by his own efforts he had succeeded in discovering, as many people before him had done, as many people after him would do. He claimed no monopoly on the truth. Nor did he assert any special authority for his teaching, neither because of the faith that people had in him, nor because of the apparently logical nature of what he taught. On the contrary, he stated that it is proper to doubt and to test whatever is beyond one's experience. Do not simply believe whatever you are told, or whatever has been handed down from past generations, or what is common opinion, or whatever the scriptures say. Do not accept something as true merely by deduction or inference, or by considering outward appearances, or by partiality for a certain view, or because of its plausibility, or because your teacher tells you it is so. But when you yourselves directly know these principles are unwholesome, blameworthy, condemned by the wise. When adopted and carried out, they lead to harm and suffering. Then you should abandon them. And when you yourselves directly know, these principles are wholesome, blameless, praised by the wise. When adopted and carried out, they lead to welfare and happiness. Then you should accept and practice them. The highest authority is one's own experience of truth. Nothing should be accepted on faith alone. We have to examine to see whether it is logical, practical, beneficial. Nor having examined a teaching by means of our reason, is it sufficient to accept it as true intellectually. If we are to benefit from the truth, we have to experience it directly. Only then can we know that it is really true. The Buddha always emphasized that he taught only what he had experienced by direct knowledge, and he encouraged others to develop such knowledge themselves, to become their own authorities. Each of you, make yourself an island. Make yourself your refuge. There is no other refuge. Make truth your island. Make truth your refuge.
Vipassana, which means to see things as they really are, is one of India's most ancient techniques of meditation. It was taught in India about 2,500 years ago as a universal remedy for universal ills. Vipassana meditation is a simple, practical technique which enables one to lead a more positive, balanced, and happy life. It focuses on the deep interconnection between mind and body, which can be experienced directly by disciplined attention to the physical sensations that form the life of the body and that continuously interconnect with and condition the life of the mind. Although Vipassana was practiced and taught by the Buddha, it contains nothing of a sectarian or religious nature. The technique of Vipassana meditation is taught at 10-day residential courses during which participants learn the basics of the method and practice sufficiently to experience its beneficial results. More than 100 meditation centers have been established around the world, including in Asia, the Middle East, Europe, North America, and Australasia. New Zealand has had a center since 1987. This program is brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. The New Zealand Center is located at 153 Burnside Road, Makarau, Kaukopakopa, approximately 1 hour drive north of Auckland. The website is www.medini.dharma.org. That is www.medini.dharma.org. The phone number is 09-420-5319. That's 09-420-5319. There are several centres in Australia. For more information, contact Dharma Bhumi at 212 Station Street, Blackheath, New South Wales. The telephone number is 02-4787-3600 and the website is www.bhumi.dharma.org. That's www.bhumi.dharma.org.